Let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Tonight we're going to be finishing our series we've been doing in the evening services together, working through different psalms. We've looked at quite a few in the first part of the psalm and have jumped around a little bit, and it's fitting to finish our time in the psalms together with Psalm 100. It's one of the most famous of the psalms, one of the most precious of the psalms. We often sing it, "All people that on earth do dwell." We often use it as a call to worship. And so it's a good one for us to spend some time meditating upon together tonight. So let me invite you to give your attention now to this psalm, a psalm which is described for us as being a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. This ends the reading of God's Word. Let's ask for His Spirit to be present with us to illuminate to our understanding. Our God and Father, we thank You that You give us the privilege of bringing You thanks, of giving You thanks. Lord, we know that we have broken Your law. We have been rebels and traitors to Your cause. In and of ourselves, we deserve only condemnation. And yet, Lord, we stand in Christ, in whom there is therefore now no condemnation. And so the call to come into Your courts is not something that sends us trembling with fear that our life will be demanded of us, but rather something that can produce joy in us as we see that Christ has paid the penalty. He has given His life so that we might now have life with You, life in Your presence, joy forevermore. And Father, I pray for each of us here tonight. Some of us may be feeling much of this joy, much of this thanksgiving already as we look around at what You have done and what You are doing in our lives. Others, Lord, may feel very little of this joy. We may feel it very difficult to think of giving thanks. And I ask, God, that You would work through the power of Your Word to move us, wherever we are, to give thanks to You, to worship You, to know that You are good, that Your steadfast love endures forever, and that You are faithful to all generations. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we had the opportunity just the other week to celebrate Thanksgiving as a nation. Most of you probably had the chance to gather with family or with friends, if you weren't sick with one of the many sicknesses going around, that is, to give thanks together, to celebrate with a big meal, to gather with people that maybe you don't get to see all the time, and just to be reminded of all the good things that we have. And many of you may have the tradition of at some point in that celebration, at some point in that Thanksgiving, going around the table and saying, "What are you thankful for?" You know, maybe you've been at a gathering like that as a family, and the patriarch or the matriarch, whoever kind of the head of the family is, says at some point, "All right, it's time to go around and say what we're thankful for." Now, some of you are very sanctified people, and so you are always immediately thinking of, you know, 15 things you're so thankful for. You see God's goodness so clearly. But have you ever been in that position? Maybe the patriarch turns to you and says, "Why don't you start us off?" And you kind of find yourself racking your brain. What am I supposed to be thankful for here? Or maybe even worse, you feel a little resentful. You know, my year has been hard, you say. This has been difficult. I'm going through a lot right now. I don't feel like listing off things for which I'm grateful. Now, we know as Christians that we are to be people of gratitude, aren't we? We know that we are to respond to the call that we get in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Sometimes it's difficult to do that, isn't it? Which is why I find this psalm so helpful. Because it's not only a call to be thankful, it's also a psalm that if we meditate upon it, if we listen to it, if we learn from it, will actually produce the very thanksgiving that it demands. It's kind of a picture of that famous prayer of Augustine, isn't it? Lord, would you grant that which you command? We don't in ourselves have the ability to do even the things that God calls us to do unless He first works in our lives. And in Psalm 100, we get a kind of living picture of how that plays out. As the psalmist both calls us to worship God and reminds us of the things that will move us to worship God. And so tonight, as we meditate on this brief psalm together, I want us to hear the answer to two questions. First, what is it that produces thanksgiving? Or maybe another way of framing it is this. What are the things that you and I as Christians can think about, can remember, can meditate upon that will move us to thanksgiving when we maybe aren't feeling that in and of ourselves? And then secondly, how should that thanksgiving be expressed? What does it look like to make a joyful noise and enter God's gates with thanksgiving? And so tonight we'll look at this psalm to answer both of those questions. What produces thanksgiving and how should that thanksgiving be expressed? So what are the things that the psalmist points us to in this song that can move us to gratitude, that can move us to thanksgiving? What are the things that we as believers should be remembering and recognizing and meditating on and thinking about if we want to grow in giving thanks and showing gratitude? Well, the verses 3 and 5, I think, really draw out for us several things that we can be thankful for. The first thing is mentioned right at the beginning of verse 3. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. What is the psalmist saying here? Well, the psalmist is reminding us of something that is very basic, very foundational, but very important. He's reminding us that God has made us. Theologians will speak about this as the creator-creature distinction, right? And the psalmist says this is something that if you grab hold of, if you remember, if you remind yourself of, should produce thanksgiving in your heart and in your life. Really, we can think of it this way. What the psalmist is reminding us of is two foundational truths. First, there is a God. Second, it isn't you. There is a God and it isn't you, and that's good news. Good news that should move us to thanksgiving. Know that the Lord, Yahweh, He is God. It is He who made us. Now, how does that move us to praise? Well, let's just think about it, what we would see in our lives when we don't remember those things. When we ignore these truths, that there is a God and it isn't us. When we don't remember that we are God's creatures, we tend not to be grateful. Why? Well, because we fall into one of two dangers. Sometimes we will act as if we are God. We forget that the Lord, He is God, and we think, I am God. And of course, part of why that will produce frustration and anger and resentment in our lives is that we walk through life like thinking that we are God, and no one else seems to think that. They all act as if we're just another person. In fact, maybe they act as if they are God. And so we clash, don't we? We bump into each other. We become resentful. We become angry. We become indignant. How could she say that to me? How could he treat me that way? Don't they recognize what I deserve? Don't they see all the things that I'm doing? Is it too much to ask for fill in the blank? Where do those thoughts come from? Well, they come from a functional belief, a heart attitude that we are divine. It's a self-absorbed perspective that looks at others as owing us thanksgiving and gratitude and praise. We put ourselves in the place of God. We anoint ourselves to sit on the throne. And then we rail at the world when they don't bow the knee to their sovereign. And so we cut ourselves off from each other, of course, and that's bad enough. But the psalmist reminds us that the fundamental problem with this is that it's not true. And that there is a God who is in the heavens. The Lord, He is God. He's the one who made us. Therefore, He is the one who is worthy of our thanksgiving, who is worthy of our gratitude. And when we forget that the Lord is God, that He is the one who has made us, who has given us life, who sustains each and every breath, then we forget to show the gratitude and the thanksgiving that He rightly deserves. This is one of the errors that we can fall into, acting as if we are divine. And therefore, we don't show gratitude to the one who truly is divine. Or we can fall into another error. And sometimes we alternate between these two. We can act not like we are divine, but as if we're mere animals. As if there is no God. As if we have not been made. As if we do not possess, as human beings, the image of God. And where does that lead us? Well, when we think we're divine, we become self-absorbed in a kind of puffed-up way. When we forget that God is real, that He has made us, that He does care for us, that we are His, as the psalmist says, we become self-absorbed, but in another way. We fall into self-loathing. We slip into maybe even thoughts of self-harm or suicide. We lose all hope. We act as if there's nothing to distinguish us from anything else that's running around and breathing oxygen. No difference between us and a pet. No difference between us and an insect. We feel like we don't matter. We feel like we're not important. We feel like there's no point. We feel like there's no purpose. We get turned in on ourselves and we don't like what we see and we spiral down and down and down. There's a life that is absent of gratitude. It's absent of thanksgiving because it acts as if there is no God above, as if we have not received anything from Him. You see how these two errors can flow from forgetting this foundational truth, that the Lord, He is God. That it is He who made us. And so what should we do when we find ourselves in either of those places? Or maybe bouncing back and forth between the two. One moment, railing at others because they're not treating us like we're God. The next moment, thinking that we have no value at all because we can't see God relating to us in any way. Well, we need to come back to what's real. We need to be pulled out of ourselves, out of that self-absorption or that self-loathing, to look up, to look at God, to look at the one who is in charge of everything, the one who has made us, the one to whom we belong. You need to remember, friend, that God chose for you to exist in this world. He chose to create you. And when He made you apart from all other creatures. Human beings are not just one more aspect of the environment in a generic way. We are made in the image of God. And so there is something unique and important about every image bearer that God has made, including you. Regardless of how you feel about yourself, regardless of how you think of yourself, you matter. You're important. You have much to be grateful for simply because God has made you. These are basic things, but things that we so easily forget and lose sight of. And so the psalmist puts them before us here. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us. Secondly, the psalmist moves from creation as a call to thanksgiving to our redemption as well. It's not just the fact that God has made us, the fact that God gives us life, the fact that God sustains our lives, that moves us to gratitude. That is true. That should produce gratefulness and thankfulness in our lives. But there's something far deeper, something far greater, that we have not only been created, but that we have been redeemed. It's not only He who has made us, but we are His. We belong to Him. And this is where verse 3 ends. It says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. If you know your Bibles, you know that imagery is always specific. It's always particular. Not everyone is part of the sheep of God's pasture. All of us have been made by God. All of us owe gratitude to God for our existence. But for those who are God's people, there is something even more at play. We're not only grateful that God has made us, we're grateful that God has redeemed us. And when we lose sight of this truth, we will be people who struggle to be grateful, people who struggle to express thanks. Remember what Jesus says in John chapter 10. He's talking to His disciples and He reminds them of this fundamental fact. That He is the shepherd of His sheep. He's a shepherd who knows His sheep, who loves His sheep, who lays down His life for His sheep, who's not like the other shepherds that they have experienced, hirelings who would come and go depending on what suited them best. Oftentimes we can be frustrated because we've met people like that. We've experienced things like that. But God is saying that He deals with us differently. That He is the perfect shepherd. What does a shepherd do for his sheep? Well, his entire life and identity and focus is on his flock. He cares for them constantly. Shepherds don't clock in and clock out, right? They are with the flock throughout their life. They are with them in the day and in the night. When there's plenty and when there's famine. When it's peaceful and when there's enemies. And God says He is the shepherd of His people. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. We have much to be grateful for. Much that we have been redeemed from. Much that we have been saved to. And we get to experience all of this under the hand and in fellowship with our triune God. And so this fundamental truth that we are God's people, that we are the sheep of His pasture, is something we can come back to again and again and again to move our hearts to gratitude. And thirdly, thanksgiving is produced not only by the fact that God has created us, not only by the reality of our redemption, but also by the character of God. Look at verse 5. The psalmist ends this song by singing, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love, His covenant love, His faithfulness endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. What is the psalmist doing here? Well, as he brings this song to a close, as he brings it to a climax, we might say, He focuses us. He focuses our praise. He's been calling for us to worship. He's been calling for us to sing. Now He puts the words in our mouth, as it were. Words of praise to God. And they center not only on what God has done in creating us, not only on what God has done in redeeming us, but in who God is in Himself. The Lord is good. Before there was a creation, the Lord was good. At the lowest point in creation, the Lord was good. At the heights of redemption, the Lord is good. This is true in all times and circumstances and places. And the Lord is not only good in an abstract way, He is good to us. He is good to His people. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations. And the psalmist wants us to hear that again. That God Himself, His character, His being, His attributes, His dealings, these are the things that our hearts and minds should run to produce thanksgiving, to produce gratitude. Now, there are many things we can be grateful for. And maybe at the Thanksgiving table, you had the chance to list some of those things. I'm grateful for my family. I'm grateful for my job. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for my house. These are good gifts. We should note these things. We should praise God for these things. But as we walk through life, we've all experienced that good things God often gives us are not always guaranteed. The good health can turn with one visit to the ER as you find a diagnosis that you were unaware of. The good marriage can end when a spouse dies or relationships break down. The children that you love can become estranged from you. The job you enjoy can be taken away from you. And so ultimately, when we look to grow in gratitude, we can't root our thankfulness in those things. Those are things that should move us towards thankfulness, but we need something foundational, something sure. And maybe you've experienced the dynamic of having those things taken away, and you find yourself in the pit, as it were. And as you look up, even if there are good things in your life, it's just very hard for you to see them in a circumstantial way. Which is why the psalmist is putting before us this constellation of truths that don't move, that don't change, that can't be removed, that are guaranteed for us as God's people. That we have been made by God. He chose to make you. He chooses to sustain you. Each breath you take is a gift from God. And he deals with you in this way because you are His people. You are His. You are part of the sheep of His pasture if you have put your faith in the shepherd Jesus Christ. And so He has redeemed you at the cost of His own blood. And He has done that to bring you into fellowship and union and communion with the triune God Himself. These are the things that we can always look to and that can always work in our lives to produce that thankfulness that the psalmist calls for. So as we close then, how should that thankfulness then be expressed? What would it look like for us to respond to the call of the psalmist? Well, let me just very briefly mention three things which we see from this psalm. First, notice that the psalmist is himself expressing thanksgiving in this psalm. He's modeling what he is calling for. And thanksgiving is expressed in this psalm in part by reminding one another of all of these things. Notice that this is not a kind of personal poem that the psalmist is writing, expressing his own innermost thoughts. This is a corporate song. It's a call. That's why it so often works its way into our liturgy and our worship, isn't it? It is He who made us. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. And the psalmist turns to those in the congregation around him. Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Enter His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. This is part of what a grateful, thankful person will look like and will be like. That they will be calling on other Christians to join them in singing to God, in praying to God. Fathers, you have a particular role and opportunity to play in this. One of the most powerful ways that a man can lead is not by telling your family what to do. Sometimes that must be done. But one of the most powerful ways to lead is simply to say, let's do this. Let's go to the couch and do family worship. Let's sit down and sing God's word together. Let's pray about that right now. That's something that we should be doing every single week, every single day as the Lord gives us opportunity to turn to those around us, particularly to those under our authority, under our care, under our influence, and to say, make a joyful noise to the Lord. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Let me encourage you to find an opportunity this week to turn to another believer, another person, to call on them, to invite them to join with you in giving thanks to God. Because thanksgiving is expressed in part by reminding one another of these things and calling each other to worship. But notice that the bounds of this actually go beyond just the church, just beyond God's people. There is a focus on God's people. That's what we saw in verse 3. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. There's a call to come to Zion, to come to the temple. And yet, even here, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, what do we also see? Well, look at verse 1. We see that the call goes beyond Israel to the nations. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, to Yahweh, the covenant God, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with thanksgiving. When we sing the thundering words of this psalm in its metrical version, we begin by singing, all people that on earth do dwell. It's very fitting. Capture something important. That thankfulness and gratitude, notice, is not merely a private thing. There's a private aspect. There are things that we should thank the Lord for in the privacy of our own prayer closet and homes. And yet the thanksgiving that the psalmist is describing and is calling for and is modeling is something that is exuberantly public. It's something that is growing. It's something that is overflowing. He's turning to those in the congregation and saying, let us praise the Lord. He longs to see the nations come to praise the Lord. This is part of how we show gratitude to our God for what He has done for us. Yes, by praising Him, but also by working for Him, witnessing for Him, calling on others to praise Him. As we come to know God more, we want Him to be known more by others. We want to make Him known. And that is part of what a heart of thankfulness and gratitude will express. And of course, all of this is leading to maybe the most fundamental answer to this question. How should thanksgiving be expressed? Yes, by calling one another to worship. Yes, by looking to evangelize the nations and see them come to worship God. But all of that is subservient to this fundamental answer, that thanksgiving is expressed by praise and worship. We were reminded in the last psalm that we considered that missions exist. It's very important, but it exists for the sake of worship, to see God receive more worship and more praise. And so that is the fundamental way in which we show thankfulness and gratitude to God. And that's what the psalmist calls for, to make a joyful noise to the Lord, to express it in prayer and in song, to serve the Lord with gladness, to come into His presence with singing. This is part of why gathered corporate worship is so important and so precious. When we fall out of the habit of gathering together, of opening our mouths, of singing with one another, we will find that our hearts become harder and harder and colder, and it will be more and more difficult to be grateful, to give thanksgiving. But God can tune our hearts to sing His praise as we gather together. As we sit under the preaching of the Word, as we lift up our own voices in prayer and in song, that is part of our sacrifice of praise, part of our worship that is due to God. I've heard that the French have a saying, the appetite grows with eating. And there's something like that that happens spiritually. That people who are the most thankful are often those who find it easiest to be thankful. The more we express that gratitude, the more we express that thanksgiving, maybe even when everything looks hard in our lives, but we can go back to these central truths. We can remind ourselves, God made me. God sustains me. God has redeemed me. God, the triune God, wants me to have union and fellowship with Him. Whether you are employed or unemployed, married or unmarried, healthy or sick, free or in prison, these are things that are true, and they don't change. They don't shift. You can always go back to them. You can always point to them. You can always meditate on them. And they can always produce in you thanksgiving and praise. And so let us, friends, know these things. Remember, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture, and the Lord is good. Amen. Let's pray together. Lord, we do thank You. We thank You that we have so much to be thankful for. Not only in the circumstances of our life, not just for the fact that we live in relative comfort and prosperity, not just for the freedoms that we enjoy in this country, not just for the many ways You have blessed us in our friendships and in our families and in our work. These are good things and we're grateful for them. And yet, Lord, we thank You that if all of these things were to be ripped from our grasp tomorrow, that we could still sing with joy, that we could still come into Your presence, that we could still enter Your gates with thanksgiving, that we could still say the Lord is God and the Lord is good, because we are Your people. We are the sheep of Your pasture, and You have shown and will continue to show Your steadfast covenant love to us. Your faithfulness, Lord, we know will continue to all generations. And so I pray now, Lord, that whether we came in to this sanctuary tonight feeling joy and feeling gratitude and feeling thankfulness, or whether we came feeling like there was no point, feeling like there was nothing good, feeling like You had forgotten us altogether, I pray that You would burn in our minds the words of this psalm, that it would come to us in times of joy and in times of sorrow, and that it would produce the very thanksgiving, the very praise, the very worship that it commands. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.